Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, today, British Prime Minister Theresa May struck a deal with European Union officials that moves Brexit talks on to the next phase. Under the agreement, there will not be a new hard border between the Republic of Ireland, a country in its own right, and Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. The deal also means there won't be new rules imposed on UK citizens living in the EU or EU citizens living in the UK. And Britain reportedly could pay around $50 billion to the EU in a so-called divorce bill. NPR's Frank Langford is in London. Frank, tell us more.
Yeah, well, on the border, Robin, it ensures that people and goods will be able to move freely back and forth between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, as you point out, an independent country. But it's always been a really open border. I mean, for many, many years, a very open border, and there's lots of trade. And if you actually drive a car, you would see a bigger difference between Pennsylvania and New York. I mean, honestly, it's so open. And people really like it that way. So that's not going to change. That's very important.
And of course, the Republic of Ireland, its own separate country, is going to be staying with the EU. And Northern Ireland will be Brexiting with the UK. So tell us more.
So the UK is going to meet its obligations to the European Union for the next few years as promised. It's going to be paying into pensions, things like this. All the things that it promised to pay into the budget for the EU so it doesn't blow a hole in the budget. And then, as you were just mentioning, the rights of their 3 million EU citizens living here in the UK, about a million Britons over in Europe, and they're going to be able to live, work, and study as they currently do. So this will not, you know, fundamentally change their lives.
Okay. And back to this really emotional issue of this, you know, hard border between the two Irelands. You know, talk more about why that was such a problem.
Well, you know what's amazing about it, Robin, is nobody thought about this.
Right.
This was never an issue when they had the Brexit vote about a year and a half ago. And what they found is that, not surprisingly, if the UK is going to leave, this creates a new land border with the European Union. And so the question was, well, what do you do? You now have an international border. Before, it hadn't really been because everybody was inside the EU. So there are questions of customs, smuggling, people moving back and forth. And the concern was, if they put up a hard border, you hurt trade, people will be frustrated. And also, if you remember, there was a lot of violence in the old days in Northern Ireland, and they didn't want the troubles to start off again, people not being able to get across the border and get frustrated. So what they've said now is there's not going to be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the island and the rest of the island of Ireland, but also that Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK will still remain completely open. And this is kind of an ambiguous agreement to make sure that everybody's happy. But how it actually works in the long run is very unclear. And I think we're going to see a lot of that as they get into further agreements. So to a certain extent, they kick the can down the road because this is so contentious. People are so concerned about the movement of people as well as the movement of goods.
Yeah. And talk about the money that the UK is going to be spending for this, as you say, divorce, because a huge part of the reason for the Brexit vote winning was that people in the UK wanted more money to be directed to home. Now they're spending, what, $50 billion?
Exactly. And this is embarrassing. If you remember, the Brexiteers back in 2016 during the campaign were saying, oh, the UK is going to get $350 million back every week from the European Union. We're going to spend it on healthcare. It's going to be great. And now they have to tell people, oh, actually, we owe a lot of money. We're going to keep having to pay in for quite a long time. So this is embarrassing to the Brexiteers. And Theresa May today tried to put it the best face on it she could, saying it was fair to the British taxpayers and they would be able to have more money to spend here. But yes, it was an inevitable thing that they have to pay. And it was a little humiliating.
Right. But they did come up with a deal. So really, how would you score this for Theresa May?
She had to make a lot of concessions. She's a very weak prime minister. And I think one of the things that's becoming very clear to people in the United Kingdom is they are a junior partner in this deal. The EU is huge. But she survives to live another day, which is worth something. And the EU is really interesting today. They praised her, talked about her as a tough negotiator, said that she did a good job. And the reason is, I think, in part, they do not want her government to collapse. They certainly don't want to deal with another prime minister here. And the United Kingdom has been uncharacteristically unstable. And so the EU, you know, they do want this to work out. They're not happy. They're sad that the UK is leaving, but they don't want to see sort of political chaos here.
What's the takeaway from all of this?
It's really interesting, Rob. And I'll tell you, as an American living here in the United Kingdom, what I've noticed is there's a big, big lesson that when you have these relationships, these, you know, transatlantic, or in this case, it's a trans-European relationship, and you decide you're going to walk away from it, you pay a price. And you're seeing a little bit about this with Mr. Trump. He's pulling away from trade deals. He's pulling away from the transatlantic alliance, criticizing NATO. And if you look around the world, you know, the United States has considerably less influence than it did a year or so ago. And you hear this in China. You hear it in Brussels. And this is a similar situation here in the United Kingdom.
NPR's Frank Langfitt in London. Thank you.
Happy to do it, Robin.